Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, joined by my good buddy here, Cole Shelton, to break down UFC Mexico City. Cole, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right, buddy. Not feeling 100% right now, but I'm going to get through this podcast with you. We're going to be breaking down UFC Mexico City. Should be a great card, or should be a really good card anyways. And we're going to talk about that great card that was UFC Vancouver later on. That was an amazing card. Can't wait to talk about that with you. But we'll do the UFC Mexico City card first. So I'm going to be using the Tapology bout list. So we'll start with the bottom, work our way up. You got that, Cole? Ready to go?
Yep.
Cool. So we'll work our way from the bottom up. And the first fight to talk about is Claudio Puelles against Marcos Mariano in a lightweight bout. Puelles opened at -215. Mariano opened at +165. Right now we have Puelles -255. Mariano +215. Who's your pick, Cole?
Yeah, I like Claudio Puelles in this. Mariano really should be in the UFC. It's only because he's Anderson Silva's friend. We saw in his last fight against Lando Venata, his submission defense was not that good. He got submitted by Venata in the first round. Didn't even look like he knew what he was really doing. Claudio Puelles has some submission wins. In his last UFC fight, he picked up his first UFC win, and he submitted Felipe Silva. In his first UFC fight, he got knocked out to Martin Barreva, who's actually fighting on this card. But I think the odds are kind of where it should be. Puelles at -255. But a prop I like is Puelles wins inside the distance, -130. I think that's the way to go if you're going to bet on this fight, because I think he'll be able to submit Mariano. From what I saw in Mariano's fight, I wasn't impressed at all. I don't think he's UFC caliber. I mean, he's 6-5. Like, 6-5 should not be in the UFC. He was 1-1 before he got in there. He doesn't really have any notable wins on his record. You don't really know any of the names on his record, and except Venata, if you're like a big UFC fan, MMA fan. So I just think Puelles will win this fight. I honestly would call a first round submission win.
I think that's a pretty good call there. I believe that Puelles wins this fight too. Mariano, well, let's call it like it is, Cole. He's in the UFC because he's Anderson Silva's buddy. I don't think this guy's UFC caliber. 6-5 record. Just got destroyed by Lando Venata. That wasn't even a close fight. Claudio Puelles. By the way, that was the co-main event on that UFC 240. What was it?
234. Sorry.
4 card. Yeah. It's crazy, right? Anyways, Puelles, he's a lot younger, 23. He looked great in that Felipe Silva fight. The Martin Bravo knockout loss was definitely not good, but he looked great in his last fight. Has quite a bit of experience for a young guy. I do believe he wins this fight. Give me Claudio Puelles. I'm with you, Cole. I think he finishes this fight as well. Next up, we have a women's bantamweight bout between Sajara Eubanks and Betch Correa. Eubanks open -230. Correa open +170. Right now, we have Eubanks -255. Correa +215. Who's your pick?
I like Sajara Eubanks here. Betch Correa. This is more fading Betch Correa. She's, 1-4-1 in her last six. She hasn't looked impressive. You were at her last fight against Irene O'Donnell. Yes. O'Donnell looked really good in that fight. Correa did not. Although Eubanks is only 4-3, she's a better 4-3 than what her record thinks. Like, she has had tough fights. Like, she fought Aspen Ladd, she's fought Roxanne Modafferi twice. And the problem is with a lot of her fights were on tough, where they don't count on her record. So, like, she has a win over Modafferi on tough. She has a win over Deanna Bennett, who's a really good fighter out in Invicta. But she has wins over, like, Lauren Murphy, Montferry. Two of her losses are to Aspen Ladd and to Chukagan. So those are not bad losses to have on your record. But Eubanks looked good in the last fight against Ladd. She had moments in that fight. I think she'll be able to use her wrestling and her striking to really pick apart Correa. I don't think she'll be able to finish this fight. We haven't seen Eubanks finish a fight in quite a while. I mean, since tough when she finished it. Correa, though she hasn't finished her last two fights, I don't think Eubanks will be able to, and I think she'll edge out a decision.
I agree with pretty much everything you said there. Although I do think Eubanks has a better chance to finish this fight than you're giving her. Correa is just not looking good. I think you have to absolutely favor her. And the last two fights she's been finished in, I wouldn't be surprised if this was Eubanks' first UFC stoppage win. She does have some knockout power. She has some submission ability. We've seen that in the past, not in the UFC, but before in the past we have. Definitely like Eubanks here. I think she could have been even bigger favor, in my opinion. I just don't really see how Correa wins this fight. Eubanks is better on the feet, better on the ground, better wrestling. Yeah, she might be a little bit smaller, but I don't think it matters. She'll be faster, if anything. So give me Eubanks here. Yeah, she probably wins a decision, Cole, but I do think there's a chance she can knock Correa out. Next up, we have light heavyweight bout, probably a loser leaves town matchup here between Vinicius Moreira and Paul Craig. Maria opened, or Paul Craig actually opened minus 160. Maria opened plus 120. Right now, the line's flipped a little bit. Maria is actually a small favorite, minus 120. Craig plus 100. Who's your pick, and does the loser get cut?
I think this is a loser goes home for sure. I'm surprised they even gave Moreira the third fight. He has looked terrible in his first two fights. Got knocked out to Alonzo Menifield, where he didn't really do anything. And then he got knocked out to Eric Anders, where again, he didn't show anything. He barely threw any strikes. His takedowns were stopped against Menifield. Paul Craig is, 2-4 in his last six, but he really could be easily 0-6. That Ankalov win came at the last second when he submitted him. It was a Hail Mary submission attempt that he got. He was losing the entire fight to Kennedy Njeku and then pulled off a submission with 40 seconds left. It's kind of a weird fight because both are jiu-jitsu guys. So when two jiu-jitsu guys go at it, like two grapplers, it tends to remain standing and be like a bad kickboxing fight, which is honestly what I think this fight could be. And just from what I've seen on the feet, I think Paul Craig's a tiny bit better on the feet. So I think Craig will get it done by decision. But this is a fight, just stay away from, don't bet at all, because neither have proven that they're UFC caliber or can win a good fight on the feet.
And once again, I agree with you, man. Good breakdown there, Cole. Yeah, both guys you want to fade here. So it's one of those situations where you really don't want to bet on either guy, but you got to pick someone to win. Paul Craig, he's a little bit more proven in the UFC. They're about the same age. Craig's actually a year older, but he's a little bit more proven. He's fought, I think, better competition for the most part. He actually has a couple wins in the UFC. His ground game is obviously good. We haven't really seen too much of the stand-up, but I would assume it's better than Moreira's, who is really rudimentary. And not only that, but Cole, his chin is just, it's just not good, man. Unfortunately, this guy cannot take a punch. So I got to pick Paul Craig here. Would I put money on this? Would I actually put my hard-earned money on this fight? No. The answer is no. So Paul Craig, maybe by knockout, actually, Cole. This could be his first knockout, but either way, maybe wins the decision. Maybe submission. I don't know. Probably not submission because Murray is pretty good in the ground, but I'll take Paul Craig for sure. But there's no way I'd bet on this fight. You don't want to put money on these guys. All right. Next fight's a really interesting flyweight bout between Sergio Pettis and Tyson Nam. I like this fight a lot. Tyson Nam's actually taking the fight on short notice. Sergio Pettis currently opened at minus 265. Tyson Nam opened at plus 185. Currently, Sergio Pettis minus 320. Nam plus 260. Who's your pick, Cole?
Yeah, this is going to be a really good fight. Nam's been a guy that's been on the radar for quite a while. Sergio Pettis back down to flyweight, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'll be good. So because he was way too small against Rob Font, that kind of showed. I mean, he's 1-3 in his last four, but look who he fought. He fought Cejudo, Formiga, Font, and Benavidez in his wins over Benavidez. He's still an elite flyweight. Tyson Nam, UFC debut. Short notice, too. You're not really going to know how he looks. I favor Pettis slightly. I think he can get it done. I just like his experience and what he's shown in the UFC. He's shown he can stand on the feet. He's shown he can grapple. Tyson Nam, that has nothing to lose here, though. He's coming in on short notice. He can really throw out his whole game plan and just go at Pettis and see what happens. But I think Pettis edged out a decision, but that's not a confident bet because I'm really high on Nam, and I think he could easily get it done as well.
Yeah, I was on James Lynch's show yesterday, and I did pick Nam, but I'm going to go and pick Pettis, actually, the more I thought about this one. I do think the value is on Nam, and I think, if anything, you bet on Nam here as a plus 260 dog, but I got to lean towards Pettis just because of what you said, Cole, the experience in the UFC. And also, I got to remember he's dropping on the flyweight here, right? So the last fight with Font, it wasn't good, but it was at bantamweight. I think flyweight's a better weight class for him for sure, and the fight with Benavidez showed that. He can still compete with the top guys in the division. So give me Sergio Pettis to win the decision here, Cole. He doesn't finish fights. I think there's a really good chance this fight goes to three rounds. I would not be surprised if Nam won. And again, I really want to pick him here as a dog, but I'm just going to lean towards Pettis slightly to win a decision. And the prop on that is actually, it's minus 230. So there's no value at all. If anything, you just pass and you it's dog or pass, I think, based on the odds. Next up is a women's strawweight bout between Angela Hill and Ariane Carnelosi. Angela Hill opened at – actually, no, Carnelosi opened at minus 150. Hill opened at plus 110. Odds have flipped. Hill's minus 140. Carnelosi plus 120. Who's your pick, Cole?
Another fight I wouldn't bet on just because you never know how Angela Hill's going to perform. I like the dog and Carnelosi. I just haven't – Hill just hasn't impressed me at all in the UFC. She lost most of her fights. She lost Nina Antoff, Courtney Casey, Marcos, and her last fight against Ian. Her only win was against – recently was against Jody Escobel, who is not UFC caliber, and we've seen that in her past fights. Carnelosi's coming into this UFC debut, 11-1. Her only loss was in her debut against Amanda Ribas, who's in the UFC, who's going to fight Mackenzie Dern later on. She was supposed to fight Talia Santos a little while ago. When was that?
Was that the Brazil card I was at?
Maybe. Yeah, no, it was. What? I hate how ESPN is. Or it was Shevchenko Carmouche, like in Uruguay. But I don't know. This is kind of just fading Hill when I pick the underdog in Carnelosi. I just haven't been a fan of Hill. I think Carnelosi can get it done. But again, another fight I wouldn't recommend betting on at all.
It's crazy how this is Hill's fourth fight since March. That's insane. That's a lot of fights. And I feel like it's going to catch up with her. Hill is someone that I've faded constantly during her UFC career. It's worked out for the most part. She does win occasionally, but I just don't think she's a UFC caliber fighter. She's a gatekeeper. Carnelosi, more upside, younger, more momentum, nice win streak here. Give me Carnelosi. Give me the dog, plus 120. I like the underdog here. Next up, we have a featherweight bout between Marco Polo Reyes and Kyle Nelson, the monster. Should be an interesting fight here, Cole. The odds opened at, I pick a minus 120 each. And Kyle Nelson's right now minus 125. Polo Reyes plus 105. Who's your pick here, Cole?
I actually like Kyle Nelson here for one reason. We've seen Polo Reyes get knocked out a ton, and Polo Reyes is actually dropping down in weight to 45. Yeah. So that's the thing that kind of scared me. He was getting knocked out at 55. Hmm. It's going to be less water in his brain. He's going to dehydrate himself to cut 45. And he didn't look like a small lightweight. Like, he looks like an average-sized lightweight. Although Kyle Nelson is 0-2, it's been a disappointing. His first fight, he took on, like, what, like 6 days notice at 231, something like that, against Diego Ferreira. And he lost. He had some success in the first round. And then I talked to him and basically said it was just an adrenaline dump. Then his last fight, he got submitted by Matt Sales, who's a pretty good fighter. But I just think this is a fight someone's going to get finished. We've seen Polo Reyes just gets in those brawls where he just throws and it's either he gets knocked out or he knocks his opponent out. That's normally how he wins fights. Just the drop down to featherweight kind of scares me. This, I think, is a loser goes home fight again, similar to what Craig and Morea is. But I favor Nelson slightly to get a win. But again, not a confident bet and not a fight I'd bet in at all.
Yeah, this is definitely a coin flip. I think the odds at Pick'em when they opened were dead on because, honestly, Cole, this can go either way. I definitely think you made a good point there with the dropping down weight and that affecting his chin. That's not a good thing, I think, for Polo Reyes. But at the same time, Kyle Nelson, I don't think, presents the same danger as some of the guys Marco Polo Reyes has fought recently. This fight could go either way. Again, another fight. Don't put your money on this fight, guys. This is not the kind of fight you want to put money on, but I do lean slightly towards Marco Polo Reyes. He is from Mexico. I think that could help him out here. I'll take Polo Reyes, maybe by stoppage. I don't know. I really don't even know how he wins the fight. Maybe by decision. Really hard to say, but I like Polo Reyes just a little bit more than Nelson in this matchup. Next up, we have another Mexican taking on a foreigner as Jose Alberto Quinones takes on Carlos Hoshan. Quinones opened at minus 245 and Hoshan opened at plus 175. For some reason, Quinones has been bet down to minus 150. Hoshan's been bet down to plus 130. So tons of money coming in on the dog here for some reason. I find that a little odd, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, Cole.
Yeah, I like Quinones in this one. I've just been way more impressed by him. Although his last fight was in March, he got submitted to Nathaniel Wood. Not a bad fight, not a bad loss to have. Nathaniel Wood, I'm really high on. I think he can be a top five guy in bantamweight really soon. Other than that, like he's been fighting in the UFC since 2014, which is crazy. And like a lot of people, I don't think really realize. It's like Jeremy Stephens. Like you don't really realize how long this guy's been in the UFC for. Like but he has some wins. Like he has Tiriota Ishihara, which is a big win. He has a loss to Alejandro Perez, and he actually fought Davey Ramos, which he lost to, but. I don't know. Hoshan is just his last fight against Barcelos in his UFC debut. I just wasn't impressed at all by him. I don't think that was a good fight. And he really got dominated. Other than that, he's been fighting on the regional scenes, has a few wins like that people may know. But this is a fight, again, like this Mexico card, I wouldn't bet in just because, honestly, actually right now I would bet on Quinones at the value. But what he started at, I don't think the value was there. But I think there is value on him right now. And I think he'll edge out a decision win here.
Yeah, no, I think there's some value on him too, actually. Minus 150, I do believe he wins this fight. And you do mention the loss to Alberto Alejandro Perez Cole. He also has a win over him in the second pro fight. So they fought twice. And like you said, he fought Davey Ramos, and then the last fight with Fan Lloyd. So he's been in there with some of the best guys at 135. He's not a great fighter by any means, Cole, but he's definitely a decent gatekeeper type at 135. And not only that, Cole, but I think that the fighting in Mexico is going to help him. Hoshan is young. He's 23, so he's very young. And before the Barcelos fight, he had a nice win streak going. But I don't know. I just feel like Quinones is better, more proven in the UFC, and more experienced. I like Quinones here, man. Give me Quinones to win a decision. And the prop on that is plus 145, so not great value either way. But yeah, I think at minus 150, there could be some value actually on Jose Quinones. Next up, we have a featherweight bout, I believe, between – one sec. Yeah, another featherweight bout between Martin Brav and Steven Peterson. The odds opened at a pick'em again, minus 120. So another fight the odds makers have a hard time calling. And right now the public has it at minus 110 each. So no one can decide who's going to be the favorite in this one, Cole, between Martin Brav and Steven Peterson. Tough fight to call, man. Who's your pick?
Yeah, it's a tough fight to call. This could be a loser-goes-home fight as well. They're both two-fight losing streak. Both their last fights are lost to Alex Caceres, which I think Peterson won that fight against Caceres, and Bravo, you could make an argument that he won against Caceres as well. So it's kind of interesting, but I mean, it's a tough fight. You have Bravo, who is from Mexico. You have Peterson, who comes from a good camp at Fortis. I think Peterson has shown he's a bit better at his skills. I think his striking is a tad better. I think this fight stays standing for the most part, where I'd favor Pedersen striking. But again, not a confident bet. So many of these fights are fighters that their jobs are on the line. They're on a losing streak. So it's really hard to tell how they're going to perform or what they look like against other fighters on losing streaks. I just think Pedersen, sure. I just think Pedersen's just a tiny bit better, but so I'll favor him by decision. Maybe he finishes him, but again, not a confident bet at all.
Sorry, I thought you were done. Yeah, this fight can go either way for sure. Both guys, like you said, Cole, fighting for their jobs like many fighters on this card. Peterson's just not a guy I can trust anymore. I've picked him in his last two fights, especially the Caceres fight, man. He should have won that fight. I still think he did win, but he didn't get the job done. And is very inconsistent, 2-4 over his last six fights. That's not the kind of guy I want to put money on. At the same time, Martin Bravo, a little inconsistent too, 1-2 in the UFC. He does have that win over Claudio Puelles, though. That was a good win, but the last two fights, not great performances. I lean towards Bravo very slightly to win a decision here, but yeah, I wouldn't bet on this fight either. Next up, we have a women's bantamweight bout. This is an interesting fight here, Cole, between Irene Aldana and Vanessa Mello. Mello's taking the fight on short notice, filling in for the injured Marion Renault. Irene Aldana opened at minus 475. Mello opened at plus 325. Right now, the odds are still massive. In Aldana's favor, minus 470. Mello plus 375. I think I know which way you're leaning here, Cole, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, I like Aldana in this one. I've actually been good at picking fights. I picked Paddington to win. I picked Correa to win, so I'm out of her last two fights. But it just, Mello's coming in on short notice. She last fought in Battlefield, where unfortunately she still is one of those fighters that have not been paid, which really sucks and it's terrible for that promotion. I really hope they never do a show ever again, just from what they've done. But Aldana's been training. She's Mexican. Mello, she has some good wins, 10-5. She's fought in promotions, people will know. But I just think Aldana is better. She's shown it in her past fights. She's fought higher-level competition. She's handled some really good competition. That win over Betch Correa, that was a really dominant win against you were at a 237. She has win over Lucy Padalova. She's fought people like Caitlin Chichagan and Leslie Smith, Tawny Avenger. I just like Aldana here. I think she wins this fight by decision. Because, again, you never really know how a fighter's going to look in their UFC debut.
Yeah, Mello actually has some decent wins. I mean, she beat Molly McCann back in 2015. That's not a bad win at all. Molly McCann's looked great in the UFC. And then Jan Finney, her last fight, was kind of a respected veteran. She's actually on a five-fight win streak now. So Mello, I don't think you can completely counter out here, Cole. Personally, I think maybe there's some value in her as a big dog, plus 375. That seems pretty, you know, of a large spread to me, considering Aldana's coming off a loss here. Aldana's a good fighter. She is Mexican. Again, that should help her out here. She has fought better fighters. More experience, she has better wins, but she's been a little inconsistent in the UFC, and I personally wouldn't want to lay minus 470 on her. I don't trust her at that number. I like Aldana, though. I do think she wins this fight probably by decision, and the prop on that's minus 130. I think if anything, you go that way, just take her by decision here, but at minus 470, I don't think it's worth playing her. At the same time, though, I don't know if it's worth playing Mello, considering the short notice and the step up in competition. Next up, we have, I love this fight, Cole, really intriguing flyweight bout between Askar Askarov and Brandon Moreno. Askar Askarov opened at -175. Marino opened at +135. Right now, Askarov -170, Marino +150. How excited are you for Askarov's UFC debut, and who do you think wins this fight?
Yeah, this is going to be a really good fight. If I had to bet, I think this would be the fight of the night. Like, those two. It's kind of interesting, though. Moreno picked up, he was cut because they were cutting all the flyweights, picks up one win in LFA, becomes their flyweight champ, then gets re-signed, and Askarov gets re-signed. It's good to see they bring back the flyweights. I think flyweight fights are a really entertaining, really tactical fight. I favor Askarov in this one slightly. I just think his ground game will be too much for Moreno. We've seen Moreno recently do a bunch of jiu-jitsu competitions, has a bunch of submission wins, but I just think Askarov, from what I've seen, he's highly touted prospect. I think his ground game is better. I think Moreno will need to keep this fight on the feet, which is not only his game plan. So I think it's going to be a back-and-forth fight. It's going to be if Moreno can keep his fight on the feet, where Askarov will use his jiu-jitsu. It's going to be interesting to see if Askarov can submit Moreno, because Moreno is really good at on the ground and grappling, but I favor Askarov slightly. I think he can get a decision win, but this is one of the most. This is one of the fights I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, great fight. Askarov is a really highly regarded prospect. I mean, 10-0, 26 years old, young. He's got some pretty good wins in his career. Former UFC fighter Jose Maria Tomei beat him. Also former Bellator fighter Anthony Leon. So some good wins. He has not fought that much lately, which does concern me. He only has two fights in the last 2 years. That's definitely something to worry about. But I do believe he's been being groomed for the UFC for a long time. Moreno, more experience. Moreno's young too, man. He's only 25, so he's definitely a young guy. More experience in the UFC. Some really good wins here. Luis Smolka finished him. Dustin Ortiz finished him. Those are good wins, Cole. And his last fight being Michael Perez in LFA. That's a solid win too. So the guy's really good. I do lean towards Askarov, though. I think the ceiling's a little higher for this guy. I think the UFC's been wanting to have him in the octagon for a while, but they just needed to open that flyweight division back up. Give me Askarov to win decision here. The prop on that. +280. Wow. So that's the prop on him by decision. I think, if anything, that's the way to go here. But his rear is pretty tough, man. But, yeah, definitely a good fight. And, you know, you said fight of the night. I think it's definitely got a good chance to win that. Although I would say the main event's on the fast track for that. We'll talk about that in a second. All right, co-main event time. Carlos Esparza against Alexa Grasso. The odds opened at Grasso -135, Esparza -105. Right now, Grasso -120, Esparza +100. Who's your pick?
I'm surprised this is the co-main event, though, but it should be a really good fight. Like, Grasso had that huge win over Karolina Kowalkiewicz in her last fight. Esparza got back in the win column, beating Verona Jindrobe. Before that, she got dominated against Tatiana Suarez and lost a split to Claudia Gadella. Esparza obviously has fought the better competition. Grasso is the Mexican, the younger fighter with more promise. It's going to be a fight of whether or not Esparza can use her wrestling and dominate Grasso like Suarez did to Grasso early on, and we've seen, but I favor Grasso slightly. I think her striking can get it done. She's fighting in her home city, or home country, sorry. She knows the elevation is going to be a big key in a lot of these fights. She's been used to the elevation. Esparza's been in Mexico for quite a while, but I just think Grasso's striking will be able to pick apart Esparza, and she'll win by decision. But if Esparza uses her wrestling, we could easily see her dominate this fight, which is still a chance. I think there is value on Esparza, but I think Grasso wins by decision.
Yeah, again, this is another fight I talked about with Jamie yesterday, and I did lean towards Esparza, but I thought about it a little bit more. I'm going to take Grasso. Just a little more upside here with Grasso. And like you said, Cole, the striking advantage is going to be so massive for her. Esparza's striking is very rudimentary. At the same time, though, her grappling is definitely superior in this fight. Her takedowns are really good. I just worry about the altitude here in Mexico City. This fight goes the full 3 rounds. I think Esparza is going to get really tired. So I'm going to lean towards Grasso here a little bit, but I don't know if I'd bet on this fight, because I think it honestly could go either way. And the fact that I lean towards Esparza initially makes me a little bit worried even more. So I'll take Grasso in the decision call. I do think the fight goes the full 3 rounds either way. Either Grasso wins by decision, picks apart Esparza for a striking-based decision, or Esparza gets takedowns and wins a grind-out affair. So it can go either way, but slight lean towards Alex Grasso. We finally arrived at the main event of the evening. This should be an amazing fight here, Cole, between Yair Rodriguez and Jeremy Stephens. Yair Rodriguez opened at -165. Stephens opened at +125. Right now we have Yair at -115. Stephens -105. Who's your pick in the main event of UFC Mexico City, my man?
I like Yair Rodriguez in this fight. I just have been – his last fight, although he was losing a bit for Korean Zombie, was a really good fight. Zombie's a tough guy. Before that, it was that brutal loss to Frankie Edgar, but – I mean, Jeremy Stephens lost to Zabit and Jose Aldo. He hasn't looked as good as lately, but I still think Stevens is one of the most dangerous featherweights. He has a ton of knockout power. All he needs is one punch, but I think, yeah, your striking is just better than Jeremy Stevens. I think his cardio, I think that'll be a big key in this fight. We've seen him go five rounds before. Jeremy Stevens hasn't fought a he hasn't gone five rounds since when? Probably quite a while he hasn't gone five rounds because he's been either knocked out or he knocks people out. But I just think Yair Rodriguez striking is better. That's going to be the huge factor. He's going to have the fans behind him. I think Rodriguez will edge out a decision win here or a late stoppage, like fourth or fifth round TKO.
Yeah, great fight. To me, this is the fight of the night and could be knockout of the night too because there's a good chance someone gets KO'd here. I like Rodriguez too, though, Cole. Younger guy. More upside here. Man, that last fight with Kareem Zombie was a great fight. That was an amazing matchup. One of the best fights of all time. One of the best knockouts of all time. We've been high in this guy for a while, Cole, me and you. And, yeah, the Frankie Edgar loss was obviously not a good loss, but, man, he's looked great otherwise. People are forgetting about the way he looked before the loss to Frankie Edgar. Look at the wins he had. Andre Feely knocked him out with a head kick, Cole. Beat Dan Hooker. That's a great win. Charles Rose is not a bad win. Smashed BJ. So he's got great wins here. And Jeremy Stevens. And I saw this stat yesterday, and it scares the hell out of me. Most losses in UFC history. That's not good, man. So this guy is a losing fighter in the octagon for the most part. Don't get me wrong. Stevens is a beast, and he's fought some high-level guys. And you look at who he's lost to, Cole. It's Abid, Aldo, McCann, Edgar, Holloway. The guy only fights the best guys in the world. But for the most part, Cole, he doesn't beat them. So I think this is a good chance to take Yair at a really good line. Minus 115 for Yair. I like Rodriguez too. And I see the commenter there, 23 Fames. He likes Rodriguez too, Cole. So give me Yair, man. I think he wins by either decision or by a stoppage as well, Cole. So that's it for UFC Mexico City. Should be an okay card. I mean, there are some prelims that are featuring fighters that probably shouldn't be on the roster anymore, but definitely some exciting fights, especially on that main card. And that Askarov fight should be good in the main event, of course. So great card. And before we get out of here, Cole, I want to talk about UFC Vancouver with you. I didn't get a chance to talk about that, although I have talked about it at length on the podcast yesterday. Man, like as far as cards go this year, I don't know if you covered it for sure, dog. I'm assuming you did the tweeting for that. Best fight night of the year, would you say?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I can't think
if it's not number one, it's probably number two.
Yeah, it was sick.
I'd have to go back and look at, like, just go through, like, Wikipedia, see all the events, but off the top of my head, it's probably the best.
Yeah, it was sick. There's so many great fights. And again, I talked about this yesterday. Not a lot of finishes. I think there was only four finishes and I think seven decisions, but and the one no contest. But you know what? That's just proof that it's not decisions that make fights exciting. It's just exciting, competitive fights, back and forth fights. Great card. Okay, so let's talk about it quickly. I saw your article yesterday at BJ Penn. You talked a little bit about what's next for Justin Gaethje. You think Connor is the right fight? I agree with you, man. Here's the thing. I think you should stay busy because when you wait for the winner of Khabib and Tony, that fight's not even booked, first off. There's a chance that he could be waiting until next summer to fight again. And to me, that's just way too long. And not only that, Cole, he could put himself in the Colby Covington situation where he is promised a title shot, never gets it. Look at Colby's waiting so long for a title shot, hasn't got it yet. So to me, I agree with you with the Conor McGregor fight. And for Cerrone, I did see you mention Felder. I don't think that fight's going to happen. They're too good of friends. I don't see that happening. But do you think Cerrone could possibly move back up to welterweight after that loss? Because he actually looked pretty good at 170 before he moved back down to 155.
I think he'll stay at lightweight, I think, unless the right fight at welterweight's there. I think I wrote the Felder fight, but I also wrote another one. I thought if Felder doesn't happen because they're friends, I think Poirier could make some sense. They're both coming off losses.
Yeah.
The other one I thought of, but then I'm like, as a rematch, I thought Barboza just because they're coming off losses. But after their first fight, Cerrone dominated. So I'm like, yeah. I don't really know if Cerrone would take it. But it's a fight to try to get one of them another win. So Cerrone has a lot of options. He has a lot of options at lightweight. He has some good fights at welterweight if he wants to move up. I know he's been chasing after the title. I just don't think he'll be able to get at lightweight. No one's going to beat Khabib for a while, I don't think. But, I mean, I think he's in that kind of boat like Anthony Pettis is right now where it's just he's just going to have to be in fun fights and, like, fights that excite him, which is kind of what Gaethje was. And I think there's more fights at lightweight for him. But, again, that cut is tough. He always mentions how tough it is. So I wouldn't be surprised if he moves back up to welterweight.
What about Cowboy versus Connor? I don't think anyone's talking about that fight. We were talking about it a few months ago. Maybe you could do that fight. What do you think of that? I mean, Connor's coming off a loss. Cerrone's coming off a loss.
I think for Connor, I think he wants a fighter coming off a win just because for his like ego or whatever. But I think Cowboy Connor is a much better, more winnable fight for Connor than Connor Gaethje is.
Yeah, I agree. I think Gaethje actually probably beats Connor at this point. I know Connor's striking is very technical, and he's very accurate with his punches, which obviously have a lot of power. But I don't know, man. I think that's
kind of. Would you be surprised if Gaethje Conor fought and Gaethje used his wrestling against him? I wouldn't be surprised if that's the fight Gaethje shows off his wrestling.
No, but man, at the same time, like, we haven't seen it yet, right? And I know that he keeps talking about saying it's kind of like in reserve for when he needs it, but the guy loves staying and training, man. I don't know. I just can't really imagine him taking guys down, though. I know that the wrestling background is obviously there. A couple other fights in this card worth talking about. How did you score the co-main event, Cole? Because I had a 30-27 for Glover, and I saw the guys at Sherdog, and those guys are great, and they do a great job. I scored fights with them for the past year, but I was shocked when I saw all three guys at Sherdog had it for Krylov. How did you have it, Cole?
Yeah, me and Ann Walker were in the Sherdog chat. We're basically like, that's 30-27 to Shera. I don't know. We're like, maybe you give Krylov the round where he had that submission attempt in, but we're like, that's the only part of the round he won to Shera. So it's like, maybe you give him that just because he was close to finishing the fight, but I thought Teixeira won that fight. When I heard split, I'm like, no way they're going to give this to Krylov. But, I mean, we both picked Teixeira. I thought he was going to win. He only loses to the top guys. He's like a gatekeeper that won't let anyone pass him at light heavyweight. So I think he deserves a guy ahead of him now.
I agree. Let me just take a look at the rankings right now, light heavyweight. The only guys ahead of him are... So Glover's actually ranked 9th. That's crazy to me, Cole. How is he ranked underneath Volkan?
Like, would you do Glover, Volkan, Ozdemir make sense to do?
Volkan won he beat Latifi. You know what? That's a great fight, Cole. And why not, right? They're both ranked beside each other. The other guy you could do is Anthony Smith booked? Does he have a fight?
No, he said he won't be able to fight till 2020 because of his hand, but okay. I mean, it makes sense for Smith to get a win.
Glover, to me, deserves to fight a guy ahead of him. Smith's ranked 3. And the other fight I was thinking about, I know he's ranked underneath him, but Mauricio Shogun-Hua, because Glover's wanted to fight Shogun for a long time. That fight was supposed to happen years ago in Calgary, and that horrible card at UFC 149 didn't get done. But
they're going to Brazil, then you could do that.
That's what I said. I think co-main event in that Brazil card in November, the one with Wits and Jacare as the main event, you could do that.
Yeah, November 16th. That's 2 months. He could. That's a. Teixeira didn't take a huge amount of damage. He could make that turnaround.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So I think those are some options. But yeah, that Volkan fight actually wouldn't be too bad. Let's see here. What else? Okay, the Todd Duffy Jeff Hughes fight. And I talked about this on James's podcast. Man, so many keyboard warriors, Cole, calling Todd Duffy a wimp. What'd you think, man?
There are some people on Twitter saying, oh, he quit. He wanted out of that fight. The same thing happened to Chicago, but like, how you are not that person. If he can't see that is, MMA and boxing are the worst sports to do to fight if you can't see with one eye. Like, it is so dangerous. People die from combat sports. If you cannot see, you basically shouldn't fight. Todd Duffy, it wasn't even like he's like, oh yeah, I can see. And then he was like, as the break was kind of going on, he's like, no, I can't see. From the moment the ref stepped over, he's like, I'm seeing double. Like, the fight's over then. Like, and then the ref was like, oh no, just give me a second. Like, and I don't know why he took so long to bring in the doctor.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like,
that was terrible.
But there's so many people on Twitter saying, oh, he wanted a way out. I don't think Duffy wanted a way out. He was so close to finishing that fight. He was winning that round. He dropped Hughes. He was rocking Hughes. Like, that was a fight Duffy was close to knocking Hughes out. And I think it was generally his eye could not see.
I agree. And I think people just don't like Todd Duffy. And you know what? He kind of brings it on himself, Cole. Like, the interviews last week with the media, he was not very kind. We'll say that. And he's kind of a prickly character. He hasn't fought in 4 years. But I just think you got to give the fighter benefit of the doubt. The guy's a professional fighter in the UFC. He's a warrior. He's been knocked out, and he's knocked people out. So I think it's really unfair to say he's looking for a way out. I'd like to see a rematch, personally. We'll see what happens there. Also, there's a comment here, Chogan's burnt out. I don't know about that. I mean, I've been thinking that for a long time, but he's actually won 4 of his last 5, and he's coming off a knockout win over Tyson Pedro, so don't know if Chogan's completely done yet. Let's talk about a few other fights here. The Tristan Connolly and Michelle Pereira fight. I don't want to talk about it too much, because I really went on a long talk about this yesterday, but as far as best fights of the year go, I mean, it's got to be up there, right? Top 5? Top 3?
Yeah, Connolly, that was a really good fight. Connolly basically, I talked to him on like the Tuesday of fight week, and he basically, what happened in that fight is exactly what he said. He's like, for the first 2 minutes, I'm not going to throw a single strike. I'm just going to avoid all the spinny stuff. Then he's going to get tired. I'm going to take him down. I'm going to outstrike him, and I'm going to win by decision. That's exactly what happened. I think Pereira, like, what Conley told me, because I talked to him, it's up on BJPen, I talked to him after the fight, like yesterday, about it, and he basically said, he talked to Pereira after the fight, and he's like, man, you can still do the spinny stuff, but don't do it all in 2 minutes. Like, do one every like 40 seconds and use your boxing, because his striking is good if he doesn't do that flippy stuff. He's basically like, if you don't do it for 2 minutes straight, you're not going to gas out, and then it's unpredictable. Like, that's what Conley said. He's like, he's so predictable because everyone knows he's doing this flippy stuff and jumps off or kicks off the cage for 2 minutes straight, and then he gas himself out. But it was a good win for Conley. Good to see him get $100,000. That's huge for a guy making their UFC debut. But I mean, he made a name of himself on that fight.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But you know, here's the other thing. Pereira's kind of overrated, man, and he's fun to watch. Cole, his record's 23-10. He's lost 10 times, man. So it's not like this guy is like an undefeated fighter. I think he was kind of too big of a favorite. He was like -575 or something. It's crazy. I know Conley took it on short notice, though. Great win. Great upset. I didn't think he'd win the fight, so good for him. But yeah, great fight. And for Pereira, I saw the article that he talked about yesterday. Cut like 38.5 pounds. That's just dumb.
That's a move to middleweight.
Yeah, it's dumb. Like, that means he's coming at over 210. Right.
Even if he cut, that's a big cut to drop down to middleweight.
Yeah, that's so dumb. I mean, that's no wonder he gassed out, right? And not only that, but like the flip. But you know what, Cole? He's fun to watch, though, man. Like, that entrance was funny, and you know, the stuff he does in the cage, like the somersault and the backflip. It looked like he stomped on Conley, that one backflip he did right to his stomach, but they didn't call it. Anyways, we'll briefly go through a couple other fights here. Uriah Hall. I did pick him, Cole. That was one good pick I've made the last few months. But that Fortis gym, man, what a gym, eh? Like, geez, like those guys win. Misha Serkinov, Peruvian necktie, looked amazing. A couple other fights here. Sakai looked great. Good win for him. Johns won. Azure Skelly fight was awesome. Smolka looked amazing. Hubbard gets the win. Just brief thoughts on any of those fights.
Yeah, Uriah Hall, that was a good pick for you. He really looked really good. That's the thing where I liked Hall at that value, but I just couldn't pull the trigger on picking him just because he's so inconsistent. But he looked good. Like, Fortis, Safe has him in a good camp. Like, other fights, I think Crute, if he had better fight IQ, he would have won that fight. But I think this is a fight that he will learn from a lot. He's still so young. He's like, what, 22 or 23, I think. But that was his first loss. Good to see Serkinov get the win, because I think he would have been cut if he didn't win. And the Peruvian necktie is not something you see all the time. Like, it's pretty rare. Like, it only happens maybe a couple times, like, wait, maybe once a year. When's the last time it happened in the UFC? Like, quite a few years ago, like 2-3 years ago, wasn't it? Like, it was CBD all the way.
It's been a while, Cole. It's been over 10 years. So.
But other than that, Sakai looked really good. Cole Smith, Miles Johns, that was an okay fight. I thought Johns won. Louis Smolka looked really impressive. That was a really good win for him, a good knockout win. He just looks a lot better compared to the Chanel fight. He looks like he's filled out at bantamweight more, and that's, I think he'll stay at bantamweight. Other than that, it was a pretty good card. Prelims are really good. There's a lot of good finishes, a lot of good fights.
Yeah, the CB Dalloway Jesse Taylor fight was in July 2008, where he won by Peruvian necktie. So it's been 11 years. That was the Anderson Silva versus James Irvin card that counter-programmed the Affliction card. So that was a long time ago, Cole. Really long time ago. Anything else you want to talk about, Cole? Anything in the news? Any fight announcements?
What do you think of Lawler Ponzinibbio?
Yeah, I did talk about that today on another podcast. I like the fight. I talked about it in today's podcast. Actually, Marcus, he might be watching the show right now. He made a comment and he tagged, I think, Jeff Neal's brother in it. And Jeff Neal's brother, they and Saif, they wanted that fight. They wanted Lawler. So, you know what? To be fair, though, Santiago's been waiting for a top guy for even longer than Jeff Neal has. I don't know who Jeff Neal's going to fight next, but I like the Ponzinibbio fight with Lawler. I don't think you could completely count Lawler out, Cole, with that power and that experience. But Santiago's on a nice win streak, 7 fights in a row. You got to lean towards Santiago, right?
Yeah, I lean towards Dale. But yeah, Santiago deserves a top opponent. But just thing for Jeff Neal, he deserves a ranked opponent. What about Neil Magny coming off the USADA suspension? That could, yeah,
actually, that's what I think his brother is saying right now. He's like, we want Neil Magny to get in the top 15. And actually, that's good. That's a good counter or segue, I should say, to my next point here, Cole. I want to talk about quickly. I did talk about this with James yesterday, the rankings. Okay, so there was a post last week on Reddit, and someone went through all the voters on the UFC rankings and found out that I think 6 out of the 15 like aren't even actual journalists. Like, it's a joke. These guys aren't even writing for websites that exist, so it doesn't make sense. And these guys have their rankings in their hands, and the UFC books fights based on the rankings sometimes. So one of my friends, Steve Jeffrey, he was part of the rankings, and James told me he quit because of this article. So I thought that kind of sucks, because Steve actually does a good job. You know, Cole, whenever I see Steve, I don't see him like once or twice a year, but when I do, we talk about the rankings, and he gives me justifications for every ranking. He's like, well, this guy beat this guy, that's why I have him above. I don't know if the other guys were like that. I know there's a few other guys that obviously do care, like Brian Heminger, who I work with at Oddsbreaker, and there's a few other guys there from MMA Weekly that I think are pretty good, but the rankings are a joke, Cole, and I think that article really exposed them. So James actually said that the UFC contacted him to do the rankings. He said no. I personally would not do it. I'll tell you why, because it's a conflict of interest. If you're an active journalist, I don't think you should be doing rankings. They could influence pay. James actually made a good point, though. He said it could be partly like fan-based and also part media-based and fighter-based. And I think that's a good point. I don't think you should be relying on 15 handpicked journalists to be doing this. And you know what's crazy, Cole? When they did the rankings, they opened it, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. There was like 50 or 60 people on the list. Now it's down to 14. Actually, down to 13 now that Steve quit. So there's barely anyone doing it. That's for a reason. I think the fact that – I know fans wouldn't be perfect either, but I'd rather see a fan-based than media-based, actually, as crazy as that sounds. Because, first off, the media has not done a good job with it, although that's, you know, not the whole media, just those guys. But it's just too big of a conflict of interest for us, Cole, because we're influencing guys' careers and their earnings. I personally don't feel comfortable with it. So just quick thoughts on the post on Reddit and on the rankings in general.
Dude, yeah, it is pretty weird. And I know Junkie has a rule that none of them, they as a staff, agree that it's just conflict of interest. So now you'll see no Junkie people do the rankings. I think it is a conflict of interest. If the UFC contacted me, I'd say no. It's just like, just because I interview so many fighters, I talk to fighters, so like, I honestly, it's so hard not to have biases in the sport. Even if a media member is like, you're obviously going to have biases to some people, but you keep that away. But the rankings, I don't get why they just don't have the matchmakers do it. Have in their meeting, like the Dana White always says they have every Monday, why can't they spend an hour or two just going through the rankings and just have Dana White and the matchmakers do it and get like David Shaw and like a couple other people in on a call and do the rankings?
Yeah, you're right. It really should be Sean Shelby, Mick Mayer, and Dana. But I don't think that's going to happen, Cole. Anything else you want to talk about? Any other fights? I'm just taking a look at possible fight announcements. The Zabit and Cowder fight got moved. That's kind of interesting. I like that Burns and Nelson fight. That should be a good one. What else here? Did you see the video of Kevin Lee playing the video games?
Yeah, I did. What a...
Yeah, he's an idiot. I mean, that seems really dangerous to me. I know that those cars are autopilot, but I don't know about that, man. And it's like, it's so dumb too, because it's like you got kids probably following you and young people that are like aspiring to be fighters, and you're gonna see that, and it's just stupid. I saw that today. Anything else, Cole?
No, I think we covered everything.
All right, cool, man. Thanks again for joining me. Go ahead and plug yourself and where people can find you, Cole.
Twitter at ColeShell91. Today I'm DJPen. Up is talked to Tristan Connolly. Yesterday talked to Czech Congo about the whole Bellator situation, about his side of the story, what happened and everything. It's kind of weird how he said I was the first media person to reach out to him for an interview, which was really weird because I reached out like almost a couple, like 5 days later, just because I was just letting him heal and everything. But yeah, other than that, just everything's on my Twitter, everything I do. Just next, yeah, all my interviews, all my articles are always up on my Twitter. It's just at ColeShell91.
Yeah, good stuff, Cole. You guys can find me on Twitter at MM Adam Martin Podcast, as always. Available at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. I'm also available at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. Once again, guys, thanks for joining us today on the podcast, breaking down UFC Mexico City. Should be a pretty good card. Cole, thanks again for joining me, man. I always appreciate it, bro. And we'll be back next Tuesday breaking down UFC Copenhagen card, so that should be a good one. Guys, thanks again for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.